as I was thinking about this message this week, I was kind of wondering in my mind, what was the major thought that God would have us take away from this service this morning? Nothing else you remember of the sermon. What is the one thing God wants you to remember to take away? And it came to me, it was the fact that Christmas was the time when God licked up the darkness of this world with eternal light. And you say to me, yeah, we know that. We know that Christmas is a time when light came into the world. But all I want you to think about, because you know that so well, is to think about the incredible change that has been brought upon this earth because light came. The incredible change because Jesus, who is the light of the world, came into this world. What a dark place it would be if Jesus had not come. That is what we celebrate at Christmas. That the light has come into this dark world. Isaiah 9:2 says, and it's a great verse, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, and it means in the land of great darkness, a light has dawned. Now, at the very beginning of creation, Genesis 1 tells us that the earth was formless and empty, and that darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the first thing that God did was to say, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. Now, Paul the Apostle, writing so many, many centuries after, in 2 Corinthians 4, tells us that what God did then in a physical way, God has done again in Christ Jesus. But this time, says Paul, the light is not the means of physical life or the sustaining of physical life, but the light is the means of spiritual and eternal life. The light means that we have this oneness with God. Eternal communion and oneness with God forever and ever and ever. 2 Corinthians 4:6, the verse I'm speaking of, Paul says, for God, who said at the beginning, let light shine out of darkness, has now made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Christ has come into the world, the light of the world, and God has caused his light to shine into the heart of believers. And we can say, we have the light of God within us. And God is daily showing us more of himself through the light that dwells in our lives. You know, it's at Christmas, that we especially remember that prior to shining in the heart of the believer, that light of God came to earth, this earth, in a human form. And he was to be and is a light, not just for the Jews, the people he came amongst, but for the whole world. For Jews and for non-Jews, the Bible says. The Bible calls them Gentiles. For the whole world, the light has come. That Isaiah, again in one of his prophecies, as he talks about this coming servant, this coming Messiah, in Isaiah 49 and in verse 6, he says of this servant, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Notice the light to the Gentiles, to the whole world. And that light, of course, is Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God. And from his birth, when you read those birth passages, his purpose in bringing light to the world, and even being the light of the world, is proclaimed right from the very beginning. Think about Zechariah. Who knows who Zechariah was? Nobody. Who knows who Zechariah was? Now, thank you, Mike, the father of John the Baptist. And Zechariah, of course, had that wonderful hymn of praise, which is called in the Latin, Mike? That's right, Nunc Dimittis, or something close to that. And but in that hymn of praise, he was talking about the ministry his son would have. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79, this is what he says. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. Of course, John was. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, which John did, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, Jesus, to shine on those living in darkness, us, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. See the emphasis again. The sun to shine, the light coming into the darkness of this world. Then a little bit later, there was a fellow called Simeon. And Simeon was in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought the baby there. And Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit to recognize his little family. And he took this tiny newborn baby into his arms. Baby just about 6 weeks old. A little baby, little helpless infant. And by the Spirit of God, this is what Simeon said. In Luke 2:29-32, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. If you ever had any doubt that Jesus was to come as the light of the world from the very beginning, you don't when you read the scripture. And especially when we come to John's gospel, which we referred to last week, and the prologue. And John says of the word of Jesus become flesh in verse 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, comprehended it. It means overcome it, put it out. The darkness has not been able to do that to the light. And that's one of the things we notice in the scripture, that from the beginning the powers of darkness sought to destroy Jesus. What Isaiah predicted in Isaiah 9:2, a people walking in darkness have seen a great light, began when Jesus was born, and straight away the devil tried to attack. Remember King Herod, how he was trying to destroy the baby Jesus. You see, the evil one was trying to put the light out, but the darkness could not overcome the light. And the Lord, as he came into this world, he could never be overcome. And in his life and his death and his resurrection, his presence with us today, the Lord, the light of the world, shines on. Praise the Lord for that. But as well as prophesying that God's light will one day dawn into this world, Isaiah also gives one very good reason why his world then needed the light. They needed the light because they were fearful. People of Israel, people of Judah, they saw dreadful things around every corner. And they got in the part where they feared everything. Look back to Isaiah, that passage we read. Isaiah chapter 8. The Lord says to Isaiah with very strong words, don't get sucked in to the behaviour that the Jews are in at the moment. What was that behaviour? It was this, in verse 12. do not call conspiracy. Everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. In Isaiah's day, the people were fairly affluent. But their world was changing rapidly around them. There were major nations like Assyria, which were on the move, attempting to take over the known world. They were evil and they were destructive. There were other nations there waiting in the wings as well. And the people were fearful of losing what they had. Very much like our current day, when you think about it. The rumours of disaster coming were all around that time. But rather than turning to God, these people were looking for answers elsewhere. Read down that chapter. Look where they were looking. They were looking at mediums. They were looking towards clairvoyance. They were looking at spiritists for guidance. But Isaiah says, all these, they may give you some answers, but they have no light from God. They come up with anything, you can be sure where it's coming from, and it's not from God. It is from the evil one. Their advice, says Isaiah, only adds to their darkness and ultimately to their fear. I believe we live in a society where many people around us easily fall into great fear. A great fear when suddenly their health goes, great fear when they hear about things happening in other countries, great fear when they hear about the terrorists and things like that. And that is reasonable. But the point is, they've got nowhere to turn to. And so the great fear continues. They've got no light. Many of them today are turning into many weird avenues for help. We who have the light need not fear and should not act like them. But you turn to the word, to the light, and radiate the trust which is in God. The end state of the people in Isaiah's time is aptly illustrated by Peterson's paraphrase in the Message of verses 20 to 22. He puts it like this. People who try these other ways to get help get nowhere. A dead end. Frustrated and famished, they try one thing after another. When nothing works out, they get angry, cursing first this God and then that one. Looking this way and that, up, down, and sideways, seeing nothing. A blank wall, an empty hole, they end up in the dark with nothing. Boy, that's a pretty good summary of people who go elsewhere but to Jesus for help. But, said Isaiah, the time is coming when there will be no need for people to be fearful anymore, if they choose. No need to stay in that dark place. For it will be said that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that is what we celebrate. Not just at Christmas, but every time we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, every time we worship Him, every time we pray to Him, every time we open His Word and read about Him, that the light of the world has come. His light has shined into our darkness. His light has given every person a choice to go to the light or to stay in the darkness. To either stay in the darkness with our fears, with wrongs, with a sense of hopelessness, or completely trust in Him who is both the light of the world and the only way to the Father, Jesus. And you know, once we've made that decision to trust Him and we have the light, that's the beginning, isn't it? That's when we must never allow the darkness to come in and take over our lives again, even as believers. Because the evil one loves to pepper us with darkness, doesn't he? It may be dark thoughts of anger that he puts into our hearts. And perhaps you've been subject to that as darkness lately. Dark thoughts of anger against someone.
or bitterness because of the way you've been treated, or hatred, or evil, and they're stopping you from being close to Jesus and ministering for him and experiencing the joy of the light. The word says, get rid of those things in the name of Jesus, because they are of the darkness. Or it may be fearful thoughts, like the people in Isaiah's times, of worry over something, of anxiety, of concern. The word of God says, cast those cares upon him, because he cares about you. Or maybe uneasy thoughts of self-doubt, how dark they can be. Lack of trust in God. A sense of guilt, not accepting his forgiveness. A sense of unworthiness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Many of you would have had the experience of being down a deep cave on a tour with a tour guide. And what often happens is they get you to the deepest point. What do they do then? Turn all the lights off, don't they? They take great joy in doing that, don't they, Lex? They take great joy in letting you know how dark it is down under the earth. The story is told of a little girl who, on one of those tours, being suddenly left in utter darkness, was frightened and began to cry. And her little brother, who was just a little bit older, was heard to cry out, don't cry. Someone here knows how to turn on the lights. In the most wonderful sense, that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of Christmas. Someone knows how to turn the lights on. That someone is God, who sent his Son into the world. And because Jesus Christ came into the world, life is available for all, even when darkness seems overwhelming. And particularly for the believer, we must never forget that. Light is there. When the darkness comes in as a flood, the light is there. Because Jesus is the light of the world. We need to turn to him. And often we need to put aside those dark things and claim his light. Forgiveness, strength, help, peace, certainty. Because he is the light of the world. Come to the end of this service, but you may want someone to pray with you about darkness in your life. We'd love to do that. Just come to the front and there'll be someone here to pray with you. But we're going to end of the moment by singing, but before we do that, let's just stop and praise God together. Father, we thank you that you sent into the world him who is the light of the world. In a most wonderful way, God, Father, Son, Spirit, one God, you are the light for us now. We praise you for that. And as we turn to you this morning, we can only look into your brightness because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we ask, Lord, that you will illuminate our lives. Chase out the darkness, the shadows that even remain sometimes in us. For those who do not know you, Lord, may they find in you the light which they need and cling to you as they invite you into their lives. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come before Christmas, let us go away this morning from that with a thought rich in our hearts. Christmas we celebrate, the light flooding this world to chase out the darkness, the light which is Christ. Amen.